explanation for who God is as revealed in Christ by His Spirit in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, have your seat. Say hello to someone beside you. Ask them how their day was. Like we always say, no matter how your day was, it might have been stressful, it might have been cumbersome, but once you come here, you format your brain again, right? You're in church. So you must not bring the negative influence in your mind or the mood that somebody has deposited in you to this environment. No way. We are sons of God. Hallelujah. Are we ready? Peace. Until I finish this sermon, don't say anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, Breaking Dividing Walls, The Religion of Peace, part 12. We have come a long way. Breaking Dividing Walls, The Religion of Peace, part 12. If you have not been following this series, you can start from here. Ensure you start from part 1. We have laid serious foundation before we get to this point. So, I'm sure you're following through. So, the last time we met, we talked about the fact that this religion has a particular tenet that they hold on to, which is what the divine decree. That they say that whatever has befallen you could not have passed you by. And what has passed you by could not have befallen you. That is what's one of the serious tenets that they hold on to. Meaning that if something happened to you, take it like that. It was supposed to happen to you. Anything that has happened to you in this life is your lot to bear. It is what God has ordained, predestined, or allotted to you. And that conclusion was formed based on the premise that we are nothing but pencils is good. We are nothing but chickens in God's farm. The way you can do point and kill for the poultry, the chickens, your poultry at the backyard. That is how God also has a right to do for mankind. He can point at this one and say, okay, your time on earth is done. You are wasting your life. Come here. You will die tomorrow. You will die like that. So that God apportions to every man like that. We are just nothing but slaves in God's farm. So because of that, whatever has happened to you in life is your lot. You cannot be upset about it. You must just receive it and say, thou art great, O God. So that was what we are examining. How true is this in light of these same scriptures that this religion believe is validated by prophets? Looking from Genesis to Malachi. And of course, we started from Genesis and we saw that when God created in Genesis 1, we did not see any death in creation. We didn't see evil in creation. We didn't see anything negative. However, in Genesis 2, we saw choice being placed before man. So man had the authority to decide which direction he wanted his own life to turn to, or the path he was going to take. And in Genesis 3, I'm doing a recap. We did this last time, so that I'm not reading through. In Genesis 3, we saw man make that choice. And we saw clearly that if there was a death option for Adam to choose from, it means that death was already in existence, right? That means God would have created the death and placed both before Adam and said, okay, life, death. I said before you this day, life and death. So if there was a death that Adam could choose from, it means that God created it. But we saw that God did not create death. Rather, he gave Adam an option of life. Adam's refusal to choose life will automatically create another path for himself called spiritual death. That is why the Bible says, as by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. So he did not say as by God. Rather, he said by man. So Adam's refusal to partake of life was sin for him, which opened a path called death that could befall men based on their own individual choices. Can we remember that? Okay, then we continued by saying, we started tracing the events. And we saw that whenever we see evil on earth, a man is always involved. You will look behind the scene. We saw in Genesis 4 that that state of death started creating, of course, when we say death, Adam did not die physically. But we saw a ripple effect that triggered a lot of other things. We saw hatred. And hatred led to what? Death, murder, which is physical death. We saw it in Genesis 4, how Cain killed Abel. There was no God in that picture. It was man. We saw rivalry. We saw ambition. We saw unhealthy competition. We saw men selling their brother into slavery. Was God there? We read all those events, how 11, 10 sons of Jacob were debating, should we sell him or should we kill him? All of them deciding by themselves. And at the end of the day, they sold their brother into slavery. So man was not there. So that was where we stopped the last time. All right. So we've said that because the man's spirit is existing in a state without God, it opened up man's mind to influences that are contrary to God's nature. That's just the whole problem that happened. Man, by the fact that he did not have God in his spirit, which is death, he had his mind opened up to influences that are contrary to God. And this degenerated more and more into several chaos. Worse and worse. So when you see a war, you see an accident, you can always trace it to a man. So today that's where we're going to start from, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Try and finish as quickly as we can with your cooperation. Ecclesiastes 1. We ready for our study? From verse 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, said the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh upon under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, for the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. Verse 6. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It weareth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done, it is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. The preacher was king over Israel in Jerusalem. Verse 13. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail had God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. Now, what is Solomon saying? He's saying that this quest he has embarked on to understand the things that are happening under the sun, that it is a travail that God has given to the Son of Man to keep themselves busy. If you look at the meaning of that word, to exercise themselves there, that means they should be busy with these things. So from our understanding of God's word and God's action, how did God put this travail upon man? Is it God that cursed man and say, hey, you would just sit down and be considering your life upon the earth or something like that? Of course not. What he is referring to is the fact that, for example, when God created in Genesis 1 and he blessed man and he said you should have dominion, subdue the earth, meaning that man already on his own is patterned, I don't want to say programmed, to understand earth, to understand his existence, to understand what goes on around him. Man wants to understand the things around him and subdue it. is just in man. So by putting man in charge of the earth, by giving man authority over this earth, he has, by implication, made man want to understand how things operate. But even that is still based on man's choice, right? How many of you are philosophers today? We have had philosophers that arose and said they would just sit down and just be. How many of you did philosophy in school? There was one annoying course we all had to do, philosophy, one thing. And then we are learning Socrates, whatever his name is, Aristotle. And somebody would just think. And then his conclusion was, I think, therefore, I am. Who sent you? He was trying to understand if he was actually existing. And then, okay, he said, because he's thinking, therefore he's existing. And then they entered from there, progress. So we have persons that have decided to just sit down all their days, pondering. Are you like that? So even that is still a choice of man. We also have inventors. People like Einstein and persons that just sit down to just want to understand and invent things and make electricity work and find out how this thing can work. Is that all, man? Are you an inventor? What have you invented? You could be an inventor in your dreams. Like in our dreams, we all do different things. Praise God. But I'm talking about persons that have taken themselves on that path. So some men, by reason of quest, can explore. Solomon was one of such men. And he said he gave himself to understand the things that are happening on earth. How does this, what actually happens on earth? Why is man here? Why are the things that happen to man like this? What happens to man? I want to understand was Solomon's quest. So don't just say God gave every man that travail. Understand what it meant. Okay, now let's continue. Now, this man, that Solomon, in his ponderings and discoverings, this was what he noted. This was what he discovered. The things he wrote in Ecclesiastes or the book of the preacher are the conclusions he arrived at by his own ponderings. And we are going to examine some of it because now he's talking about the fact that these are the events on earth. These are the things that happen to all men. These are the things that are common to men. So what are the examples of such things? Of course, we can't read the entire book. We'll just pick some things. Let's see chapter 3, verse 1. Remember what we are trying to explain, that whatever befalls you, it cannot pass you by, and whatever has passed you by cannot befall you, because that is how God, whatever it happened to you is what God proposed for it to happen. How true is this? Okay, Ecclesiastes 3 from verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance, to cast away stones, to gather stones together, to embrace, to refrain from embracing, to get, to lose, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit had he that walketh in that wherein he laboureth? I have seen the travail which God had given to the sons of men to be exercised of it, in it. Of course, you understand that again, meaning that, see, as so long as man is on earth, who created man? God, right? Because these are the things that happen to them, he's saying that God has given men such toils. So he's talking about the fact that now, so long as you're on earth, there is seasons and times and different seasons. Have you been in any of these categories before? A time to laugh? Have you laughed at the time and sometimes not laugh? Or is there anybody that's always laughing? Just laughing. Right now, you're not even laughing. So you can say that this happens to everyone. I don't say smile. I say laughing. The Bible says laugh. So everybody at one point in time might have either experienced this or seen someone that has experienced this, right? Because he's talking about what happens to all men on earth. So this is unique to every man. So long as you're a man, this kind of event would have happened to you at one point or the other. All right, let's continue. Ecclesiastes 5 from verse 9. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Is this true? Have you ever seen a man that said, okay, I am now very rich. I will not work again. Or even if he's not working again, his money is working for him. Have you ever seen a man that said, okay, I am too rich. I want to die because I'm too rich. Or something, I will not make any more. I don't know. Okay, so he's saying that even, or have you seen someone that is so rich that he no longer eats food? He now eats coin, his money, or gold. That's why he said even the king is served by the field. So it is the same field that produces food is what both the rich, the king, the slave, everyone eats from. And people are never satisfied with whatever they have. Okay, verse 11. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? Do you understand this verse? He said, when your money increase, the people that will gather around you to be sharers and partakers of that blessing, what will happen to them as well? Increase. Right now, nobody knows your name too much. But just become, the president is too big now. Sometimes the local government chairman, or even the councillor in Nigeria, you will just see suddenly, everyone in the village is calling him for what? Chieftaincy title. Or everything they want to do now is launching. What will he be? The chairman. Or it's just people will just be on his, you'll just be in his gate. Or guy, anything for us, settle your boys now. Or guy, help us. You know, this kind of, when it was not like that, when he had that money, those people were not around. So at the end of the day, when his money increased, the people that also want to eat from the money, what will happen? Increase. So the man cannot even enjoy all that he has. At the end of the day, what will be happening to the money? He will not even, sometimes he will not even understand where it is going to. That's except, of course, for those who are looting much more than they need. And those are, well, I'm talking about persons that normally their money increases. People that want to share it, even that one is even too much. You just get money now. What will happen? Your sister, your parents will automatically start expecting that you what? Train all your younger ones or do this one. Or it's just say when money increases, responsibility increases. And at the end of the day, you don't even know that you have money again because the money has gone. All right, so you're saying the owners, it doesn't profit them apart from that they've seen with their eyes that money came. You get salary at the end of the month. Boo! You think it's plenty. In 3 days' time, all that the joy you have is that alert of when the salary first came. Nothing else. All right, continue. Verse 12. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eateth little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Do you understand what this means? So when a person has labored, and his whole body is tired, what happens? He just goes home, take Panadol, drink water, take dry bread, bam, he sleeps, he's fine. But the man that has too much money, especially means by whatever wrong means, what will happen to him? Those are the ones that they can't sleep. They wake up every 1 hour. Is the electric fence on? Are you sure you on the light? But this world is just too much nonsense going through a man's mind. Okay, I'm not talking about a believer now. This is the state of man under the sun. All right, so let's continue. There is sore evil, verse 13, which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their heart, for those riches perish by evil travail, and it beget a son, and there is nothing in his hand. Now, he's talking about the fact that a man labors and gets a lot of money, but because of a problem, like maybe someone has a sickness that somehow you just spend millions. Have you seen such persons? You see them, they have a lot of money today, but all of a sudden, because of treatment, you're flying a man abroad, all of a sudden, he's now borrowing. There's no more money. So he's saying the man finishes his money because of an evil that falls upon him, and then he has children, and he cannot bequeath anything to his children because everything is exhausted. Okay, verse 15. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit had he that labored for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he had much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. So this is also an event that happens to men. Let's see chapter 9. Verse 13. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city and a few men within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyed much good. Now, by the time you finish reading all these things, you will see that Solomon was just vexing his soul. What did he mean by vexing of his soul? In one place, he will say, wisdom is better. In another place, he will say, money is better. In another place, he will say, in fact, strength is better. In another place, he will just say, nothing is better. Vanity upon vanity. Because of the plenty different things that was happening. Now, you understand that to understand, please write this down, to understand humanity in its entirety will only lead to vexation of spirit. A man who is trying to understand the whole of humanity, that's the whole of humanity in its entirety, all men, the end result will be vexation of spirit, which is frustration. Why is this so? Because there is no one answer for all. There is no straight path. There is no straight answer. There is no almighty formula. Say almighty formula is one that no matter how, you can use it for anything and it will work, Abi. There's no almighty formula to understand man. Like you say, once you put it there, it must work. No. Man has choice. And as so long as man has a choice, what happens on earth will always vary. So long as this man that is on this earth has a choice, what happens on earth can vary as much as many men on earth. That means if we have 1 billion men on earth, we can have 1 billion various distinct actions or reactions. Because each man has a choice, and most times they cannot or they will not exercise it in the same line. Okay? All right, now let's see even in Solomon, the plenty conclusions that he arrived at. Let's see Ecclesiastes 6. Ecclesiastes 6. Read the entire chapter. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as is common among men. A man to whom God had given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanted nothing for his soul of all that he desired, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity and is an evil disease. Of course, you must be careful how you interpret God there. It's just talking about the circumstance that applies to all men, which we are going to interpret later to see if it is really God. Okay, verse 3. If a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely death is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity and departed in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he had not seen the sun, nor known anything. These had more rest than the other. Yet though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet had he seen no good. No, not all go to one place. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is what? Not filled. For what had the wise man more than the fool? What are the poor that knoweth to walk among the living? He is just examining all the circumstances, that there's no one that is best. Rich, poor, sick, like that. He's just talking about different areas of man. Verse 9. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. That which had been is named already, and it is known that it is man, neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? For who knoweth what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow, for who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? So have you seen that this man is frustrated of all the plenty things and the plenty events that have happened? So a man who sets himself on this path to say, ah, why are these things happening to man? Why are we like this? Why is this one just like this? All he will heap upon himself is this frustration, vexation of spirit. He can never understand that by trying to group the whole humanity in one. Okay, now let's see Ecclesiastes 7. Let's see another funny conclusion that he reached. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why should thou die before thy time? In fact, read from verse 16. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why should I destroy thyself? Verse 17. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why should I die before thy time? So, what is this man actually saying? What is he saying? He's saying, don't be over righteous. Don't be wicked. Don't be this. There is no conclusion. He's just talking about different events, different scenarios, different scenarios. Now, let's see this. Ecclesiastes 7:29. Like we said, so long as we have, if we have a billion men today, we can have a billion different scenarios because man must exercise his choice. We are not programmed to think alike as a man. You are free. You see two children from the same parents acting as exact opposite, and you'll be wondering, where did they come from? It is man. That is how man is. So Ecclesiastes 7 verse 29. Please, if you have different translations, I want us to see this from as many translations as possible. But from the KJV, what did he say? Lo, this only have I found, that God had made man what? Upright. But they have sought out many inventions. Okay, who has other translations that are simpler? Okay, what does he say? This only have I found. God made mankind and upright. But men have gone in search of plenty schemes. All right, what does your own say? Oh, is it English? Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Okay. God made us to be good people, but what? We have become bad people. All right, what does your own say? Oh, ah. Okay. Eh, sorry, what did you say? What did this first thing say? Okay, I spot one ray of light in this thing. Okay. We are the ones who have made what? A mess of things. Okay. Oh. ISV. Okay. Okay. But they seek many alternatives. Wait a minute. What do you call it? BB. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So whose fault is that from all you have read? Man. That God made man with a particular intention in mind. God made man's spirit to be his home. But because of that choice of man, man has what? All the things you said. Man has made a mess of things. Men have become bad people. Men have decided to search out their own inventions. Because of this reality, this is the only conclusion that Solomon said that made sense. Because this explained why all the various variations are there. That God made man one way, but man has decided to seek different ways. Different ways. All the offshoots of that one choice that Adam exercised. Now, things are like this, as we see in Ecclesiastes. Of course, we can't read the whole thing. If you see it, you will just be vexed in your spirit, like the man that was vexed in his own spirit. It happens because men cannot choose their consequence, like we say. You can choose what? Your choice, but you cannot choose the consequence of your choice. So, for example, a man that is an armed robber, can he say God made him like that? No. What happened? He was born, whether because of the circumstances he found himself, and he has explored. I want to hammer. I want to blow. The economic condition is not making me hammer as I want. All these jobs, they are offering me 15K. If I save 15K, it will take, if I save 15K without drinking pure water from the money, it will take me 55 years to buy the car that I want. So, if I embark on this route, it will not pay me. So, what did he say? Influence around him suggests that, see, One job. Just one job. Ah! You will buy 10 of that cars. So what does he do? He explores the options that he has. He has the option of staying with his 15K and waiting for 55 years to buy his car, or to keep searching for a better job, or to get a skill that might make him earn something, or to go and do one job that will give him 10 cars. So what does Oga do? He chooses one job that will give him 10 cars. He has chosen the fastest means to his desired end. You cannot say that was God. But in that is one choice. See the ripple effect of consequence. The person he goes to steal from, what happens to that person? Maybe it takes one man all his money. A man has been saving, gathering money, saying he's going to Cotonou Market to go and buy things cheap. One armed robber met him on the road, took all the man's money, 10 million naira. Maybe he does not kill the man. But now, the man is suddenly penniless. What happens to his children? What happens to the person that he borrowed money from to do the business? What happens to his own business, which he can no longer further? You see the ripple effect? What happens to all those ones? Now just imagine he killed the man. What happens to the children he has made fatherless? What happens to people's destiny he has altered? Like that. So that his choice of making the man penniless might probably make his children drop out of school, might probably not make them seek other alternatives, make them drug addicts, make them like that. So one man's choice just creates one, boom, all around evil. Yet, we blame God. Like the example I gave the last time. A man decides to drink. He was angry with his wife. He says, okay, I want to drink and forget my sorrow. After all, Solomon says, give wine to him that is what? Ready to perish, so that he can drink and forget what is happening. So, the man overdrinks, and in that his foolish drunken state, he decides to still drive. As he's driving, he's seen 10 cars on the road instead of one. He decides that, why am I seeing so many cars? Okay, let me climb on top of them since they're all blocking my road. And he climbs on top of the car. And the car that he climbed on top turned around. And that one made another car turn around. And all of them started turning on their own. And 5 cars just lost control on the road. And 5 entered ditch like that. One man's action led to what? Those persons have lost cars. Some persons die. Some persons lose. Like, it just goes round. So man can, if he could foresee the cons, that's why we talked about deception from the beginning of this sermon. That what the devil does is that he veils the consequence of a man's actions from him. So you don't know that this thing you are embarking on, this is what is good. If every man could explore the consequence of what they were doing, they would not embark on that path. But the devil in his own deceptive state, he shields the consequence from you. He tells Eve, don't worry. If you eat of this, you shall not surely die. Rather, you will be like God. But what he has told Eve, does it change the consequence of what Eve will actually do? No. So that is where deception comes from. So we cannot blame God. We must be sincere. You see accident on the road, they are saying God is great. Did you see God there? You can trace it. That is why you see some people, they hit themselves and say, wait, let's call police. Police will come and say, okay, you were the one that left your lane. Did he call God? Oh. So let's not be quick to just throw things and say, hey, God, like I told you last time, many of you don't like taking responsibility for what you did not do. Once they accuse you falsely like this, you're already like, hey, why? I did not do it. It's not me. You are ready to prove your innocence for years. Yet, you are throwing everything at God. Bah. Thou art worthy. Take it. Just let it go. Take it. All right. That ought not to be so. So the Yahoo boy, the ritualist, the drunkard, all these things, all the negative influence you see, they are all persons that have embarked on their own choice, which now causes a ripple effect. Your actions does not affect you alone. No man's actions ever affect him alone. It doesn't happen. So long as you're on earth, there is always a ripple effect of your action. It will always affect more than you. That is why it's selfishness to think only of yourself. It's selfishness not to understand that this thing I'm saying, this action I'm doing, by acting this way, this is what it will cause. The selfishness when you don't explore that. And that is what has happened. Men, the natural man doesn't want to see beyond himself. This is why we have bad governance. You see, this is not my time. Before I go reach, get this position again, I don't know. Oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. This short time, what will happen? Let's just eat and die. Like one nonsense guy that just thought, if he hammer, this is what he will do. After the end of the day, he now say, if I perish, I perish. After I've hammered and done what I want to do. That's just selfishness. The average man does not see beyond himself. But even if he doesn't, what he does will always be beyond himself. And that is where we have the evil that we have on this earth. Evil. Just because of that selfish nature of man. Now, one of those ripple effects we have today is because of the body that man has. This body. This preacher also said something that makes sense. Ecclesiastes 3:14. Ecclesiastes 3:14. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. So he's saying that if God does something, it will be forever. In Genesis 1, we see God creating man's spirit. Now, that spirit of man, is it the same for all men? The spirit of man, is it the same for all men? Do we have a taller spirit or a shorter spirit? Do we have spirits that are fat and spirits that are thin? Or spirits that are fair and the ones that are dark? It's possible. We use x-ray to see some people's spirit. They are black. But all men's spirits are what? The same. Once God is authoring something, once he's responsible for something, it has to be the same for all men everywhere. Once there is a probability, once you are saying, this one's own is different, this person's hair is longer than this one, This one, even if she doesn't do anything to her hair, the hair will just be growing long, long, long. This one, even if she buys all the treatment in this world, the hair will refuse to grow. And you now say it's God that give it to such? No. Once it's God, it must be the same for all men. It's God, something that God is directly responsible for. So, from this, we see that God cannot create something that will not be eternal. It's the spirit of man, whether saved or unsaved. Can that spirit die? The spirit of man can never cease to exist. He is born, he's born. That man's spirit will exist eternally. The only difference will be in what state will it exist. But this body of man, can it stay forever? No. So God is not responsible for this body. This body is created by a man who had authority, which is called Adam. Now, the ripple effect of that body is what we are seeing today. We see some persons just have defects that nobody can explain. You see differences in physical structure or stature. We see just like when we talked about why do bad things happen to Christians. And I'll say, why is it fair that in this world some persons will be born and their hair will just be long, blonde. What do you call that color? Burgundy hair. Full hair. Long, with green eye and blue eyes. And they look like porcelain dolls. And it's their hair, that Z hair, we sell to us for how much? Hair that they grow and they are tired of growing. Why you will plait akara, and plait akara, and plait akara? And your hair refuses to grow. You say, okay, it's relaxer that spoils your hair. You will cut the whole hair and start all over and it still doesn't grow. Is it fair? So that cannot be God. If it was, we'll ask questions. Like, why? Love it thou more than me? We have to ask. So it's not fair. So we see that difference in bodies, in just body. Why will a child be born without eyes? Have you seen such cases? No mad child, not do anything. Just born, no eye inside the eye. No. Okay, thank you, Jerry. No eye inside the socket. Socket, is that looking? Are you sure it's socket they call that thing? This is not socket. Anyway, you understand what I'm trying to say, Sha? No eye inside the space that there should be eye. I don't know the 3%. You see different things. What Rhesus factor? I heard of a case of a woman who they said one thing was either, I don't know why whether it should whether it's negative or positive, but if you don't treat something that is supposed to be something, then every other child that will not come will not be like that. So because they made a mistake and they did not treat what they should treat, the second child died, and they told her she should not bother keep getting pregnant. Is that fair? Because of waiting. You understand what I'm trying to say? Sickle cell or different annoying diseases. So I was hearing of a case, a child was born, and after a while, you just realize that half of the brain is dead. Why? And a child cannot use a part of his body? No, that cannot be God. When you hear of such cases, how do you feel? Would you want that for yourself? Would you want that for your child? Would you want that for even somebody that is not close to you? You know, the problem is that most times we feel like we care more than God. Man just feel like they are nicer than God. Because you will not wish this for yourself. You won't wish it for anyone. Yet you will say that when those circumstances happen, it's God that did it. Which God are you actually serving? That cannot be God. Any God that you can be more caring than, run for your life. Because at the end of the day, it should be the one serving you. You are better than him. You shouldn't serve such God. This is not the function of God, but the body of man. You see, you don't sleep too long, too much, you become weak, you just become tired, you just, I don't know. I don't even want to explore the number of sicknesses that are on earth. I don't want to explore that. So that cannot be God. Let's see Matthew 7. What does Jesus tell us about God's character? Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Until you understand that man has power, that choice of man is powerful, and the consequence that will happen by that choice is something that is beyond himself. That is why a man created a body. And because a law has been set in motion, that each of you will reproduce what? After your kind. The consequence of the body he had is what he must pass on. And that body started degenerating over the years. The person who created it was not subject to such things as we have. He lived that many years. 930 documented. We don't know the one before he fell. 930. Yet over time, the choice of one man had affected billions that came after him. So you must be careful of your actions. Matthew 7. The Lord Jesus said about God. Verse 7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So if a man understands that God is good, that see, I cannot be better than God. I cannot be nicer than God. I cannot be more sympathetic than God. Then you will understand that you cannot charge God foolishly. You will understand that outside God, we have the devil and evil forces at work, to which if a man yields himself to, evil will definitely happen. So, now let's see this. Write this clearly. God's eternal disposition to man is love. God's eternal disposition, this is God's attitude, his mindset towards man eternally, is love. So those in active rebellion, that means those which their rebellion has not reached the permanent side, those that are still on earth, those in active rebellion, his disposition towards them is long suffering. But to those in eternal rebellion, those who have died in rebellion and can no longer change their state, God's disposition towards those ones is respect for the choice that they have made. He won't alter it. He won't change it. You cannot see God outside this. The man in active rebellion, he is still patient. He still will not do evil to such. To all men, you will see love. To all men. Matthew 5, verse 43. You have heard that it had been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if we love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So this is God's disposition, even to the man that hates him. This is God's disposition. God has no evil to give to any man. Any man. God has no evil for that man. Any man. Good, bad, whoever you are, God has no evil to give. So when you see evil, please trace the source. You can't trace it. A man is evolved. Evils on earth are a function of the ripple effect. What I call ripple effect is the same thing as consequence of a man who exercises choice to reject life. Do you understand that? Evils on earth are a ripple effect or a consequence of the man who exercises choice to reject life, and by so doing, he ushers in death and all his attendant consequences. Now we have seen the state of man on earth. This is what happens to the man on earth. This is, as the preacher said, everything that goes on under the sun. What is now God's solution? As God left us like this, do we have a way out? Remember in part 10, we talked about the fact that the blessing that God has for all men is one, right? That God has the same blessing for all men. If a man believes, he receives that same blessing. And what is that blessing? What's that blessing? What's that blessing? I'm looking at them now. Yeah, look, they're afraid of answering me. What is the blessing that God has for all men? So making the spirit, what happens? Sonship. That is God's blessing for all men. The blessing that God has for all men is that he wants you in his image. That is sonship. And he has one way to make that happen. By giving man a spirit, by indwelling man, man becomes a son, man becomes different. Now, for this man that is different, does he have another recourse? Does he have, which word can I use? Does he have an alternative reality? You know, we have talked about the reality of all men, right? That this is evil. This is how evil comes about. So let's just quickly read. We have read a lot of this scripture before, so we can round this up in 15 minutes and be done. So write this clearly. God is only responsible for immortality. The only thing God takes responsibility for is immortality. God has no business for creating anything that is mortal. So, since the events that are happening on earth, common to all men, is defined by that state of mortality, God has a different reality to give to his sons. God has another reality, another option for his sons. Why? Because by becoming a son, you have already crossed from one reality into another, even though you're on earth. Okay? Even though you are still a man, yet you are a son of God. So how many realities are open to you? Two. Two realities. So we'll just see this briefly and then we will go. 1 Corinthians 15. Or we'll just start from John 3:3. Though this is, I know we already know some of the scriptures, but don't forget why we are doing this teaching. So we'll start from the basis. John 3:3. This is Jesus speaking. God wants to give man a different reality when he makes him a son. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that is the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, when in verse 3, when it says be born again, okay, you will do all that in being born again. He's talking about that word born again there. He's not talking about quantity. He's talking about a different place. Now, you are born from another source. You are born from another reality. You are born from above. So if a man believes and we say a man is born again, what we are saying is not that he has been born twice, but rather right now he has another source. We can now trace him to another reality, which is the kingdom of God, which is the Spirit of God, which is God. So a man born again, we can trace him to God. He has been born from above. All he needs to do, as we've said earlier, is to believe that Jesus died for his sins, resurrected for that same sins, and he receives the Spirit, he becomes a son. Instantly, he has another reality. And what is the assurance we have of those persons who are partakers of this reality? That's what we're going to examine briefly now. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We ready? So just open quickly and we'll be done in 10 minutes. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And what? Your faith is also vain. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So Paul, in trying to give man assurance that he's going to rise again, confirmed it with the resurrection of Christ. Verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the what? Resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in what? In Christ shall all be made alive. So this is an assurance of a different reality. That, hey, we will not utterly perish. That so long as you have believed in Christ, you will not die and be lost. You will definitely rise again. So confident was Paul in this reality that he said, if we only have hope on this earth, then we are to be pitied. As in, everybody should just be seeing us on the road and be saying, hey, yeah. So now, yeah, you're rich. So the suffering, after you have done this, now, yeah, you're in. So, hey, yeah, that's what you should be saying. But he's saying, no, we are not to be pitied. We are to be envied. Why? Because we have an assurance, a different reality, an assurance of immortality. We have a new nature. Romans 8, this assurance is spread all around the epistles for man to understand that this is what has happened to you. Even though you are on earth, even though you are sharing the same earth space with other men, know that as a son of God, you have immortality. You have it even now. Hallelujah. All right, so Romans 8 from verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Talking about the sufferings of this present time, which is what? Our mortality. Now, the fact that we are mortal, remember where we started from, that it is this mortality that we can trace to almost every evil on earth. So, you are sick. Why? Because of the body that you have. You are facing persecution. It's because of the kind of earth we are in and the men that are rebellious. Everything that we are facing today, that people are even broke, is because men have evolved a system of measuring wealth. That is why we are broke. If we were all, I don't want to say the Garden of Eden, would we have broke men? Seller. Anyway, so men are broke, men are listening, men are just suffering other man's consequences, all other men's consequences, because of mortality. Now, he's saying that all the sufferings of mortality and everything that is associated with it is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Such confidence. Such confidence. That anything you can think about that is associated with this mortal body, you know, rich. How do they say it in this? That what will come after? Wow. It will. Ah, glory to God. Hallelujah. So mortality and all its attendant effect cannot override the benefits of immortality. That's what Paul was saying. Mortality and all the consequences around it cannot override, cannot overshadow it. The benefits of immortality. The beauty and the blessing of immortality far outweighs any current struggle that we'll have. That is why he says we are groaning. Because the body knows, because the spirit knows what is in store for it. So it's just, Paul could boldly say, for me to depart is better for me, but to stay is better for you. Because he knows what was after. Hallelujah. So God has not given us a baseless hope. That is why in Romans 5:5, you will see we have this assurance because of hope maketh, okay, let's just read it. Hope maketh not ashamed. Romans 5:5. This is the reason why Paul was so bold in saying certain things. And hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That maketh not ashamed there is saying hope does not disappoint. Hope does not fail you. This hope we have, like I was giving an example, if Okwe's salary, our boss tells her, or he doesn't even have to tell her, but after employing you, they tell you that we are going to pay you 500,000 naira every month. That's good money, Abby. Don't be proud. It's not good money. Ah, man, is this a table? That's what Ecclesiastes said. No matter what you get, you still not be satisfied. Well, 500,000 naira is okay money. Yeah, okay, it's manageable. Fine. So, if your boss promises you 500,000, but you sign the letter of employment, oh yeah, 500,000 every month. What do you do based on that 500,000 naira? Some persons will go and just borrow money everywhere. Don't worry, just give me 100k. Forget, it's sure. It's sure. My monthly, I will clear them. Don't worry, 100k. See, you want just 50k. You give me 50k first. I won't buy suits. So I can't be going to that. Just borrow money up and down. If at the end of the day, so it's nice. I won't borrow more money. Don't worry. It's sure. You go and use your letter of employment as guarantee. See, money is coming. I'm not your level again. Oh, see, God has changed my story. My testimony has changed from story to glory, from zero to hero, from grass to grace. Forget, I will give you. I go give you. You know when you, how your mouth is sharp when you have one kind of hope. I said I go give. Don't be me again. I go give you the money by mountain. Don't worry. Calm down. How many of you have worked in organizations where your salary was owed for 4 months? Even from your first salary. Did you pay it? The man just kept promising you. Don't worry. And they come. And they come. What happens to all the person that based their hope on your hope? How do you react when you see them later? Is it with the same sharp mouth? That is what it means by your hope has disappointed you. It has made you ashamed. But Paul said that God did not give us a hope that will disappoint us. And how he made it sure for you was that he gave you a spirit. Remember we said that that spirit in man is God's answer for everything. Whatever man will need for him is that spirit. That spirit is the assurance in you that this one, you cannot be made ashamed. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. He cannot change his mind. He has said we are sons and we are sons. So we have an assurance of immortality. We do. You see it in 2 Corinthians 4. That is why he could face perils. He said we can subject ourselves to dangers. We can face the hazard. As in, you know that going to preach in this hostile place is not sure for you, 50-50. Abi, why are you able to take that risk? Because you know that even if you die here, at the end of the day, we'll say, Jeff, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? If you can even see the man that bearded you, you say, see me now. Do you understand? That's why Paul was saying, we can do these things. We can hazard our lives because we have an assurance of immortality. Men and brethren, they're immortal beings. They're immortal beings. See, we can never be lost. Can never be. We can, Paul said that those that have died are perished if Christ is not raised. We can never perish. Immortality is ours. Don't let this body fool you. The problem might be like this, like this, like this. But Paul said that the sufferings associated with mortality can never make us lose sight of what immortality represents to us. We'll close here. The next time we'll now continue how, with this assurance, we can now face physical things. What is now the physical assurance? How can we combat it? How? We are immortal beings. Just know this one first. That immortality is yours. And don't ever lose sight of that because of what you are facing. Because of parent pressures, because of different things, lack, sickness, trials. Hey! No matter how bad it gets, immortality finds ways it in glory. It is. But there's something God has given us. An assurance that makes us keep our head high, no matter how tough it gets. And he gave us a weapon to direct our deeds, which is our words. Our words. See, this mortal body is bad, it's wicked. It does not easily respond to things. That even medical science, sometimes they'll be treating, it works over time, right? Sometimes even when you are praying or you are speaking concerning an issue, you must be dogged about it. Because of the body is just bad. I don't know how to describe this mortal body. It's just bad, just stubborn, it's just like this. That's why we must be badder. Is there a word like that? As if we must show the body that, hey, we are more stubborn than you. It's immortality that gives us that doggedness. The fact that we know that, hey, I have something greater than this body. It might take time, but it has to respond. Brain concerning an issue, I'm not seeing it. It can be badder. It can be more stubborn. God gave us words, and he gave us the blessing of saints. That's why Paul could rely so much on the prayers of saints, and he said, pray for us that we'll be delivered from what? Wicked and unreasonable men. For all men have not faith. So you are not strong today. Someone is strong on your behalf. We must maximize it. So let's just be on our feet. In 3 minutes, we'll just speak clear words. Hold one neighbor. Just one person. This is not tongues now. You are going to be blessing that person with words. Bless that person with words. You are going to bless that person's body. Bless the person's mind. Through words. Through words. Through words. Paul said, pray for us. See, your prayer will deliver us. Your prayer will cause a way of escape. Your prayer will make us get deliverance in this situation. Paul had that much honor for saints. So you must have honor that this person saying this thing to me can correct errors in my body. This person can correct errors in my body. We'll handle this much more later. These are things that God has given us to be able to combat the limitations we have in our flesh. He gave us words. It's why Jesus could say that if you will say to this mountain and not doubt in your heart, but you shall believe that you have whatsoever you said, that man will have whatsoever he said. You see, it's been used 3 times more than believing. Showing you that the emphasis was words. So the assurance that you have that you are not just like this man that Ecclesiastes, the preacher described here, that you have a different reality, gives you confidence to speak clear words. So you are blessing that person's body. Hey, your mind is saying. Your mind is saying. Your mind is saying. People might be depressed all around, but hey, it's not you. People might be depressed all around, but hey, it's not you. People can become fidgety because of lack of resources, but not you. Not you. Not you. Your spirit, soul, and body is kept preserved and blameless. Not you. Not you. Not you. Oh, not you. Not you. There is no error in your body that the power of God cannot correct. Hey, you are going to be more stubborn than it. We will not just give in to like, okay, oh, now so it be, oh, it just comes like this every time. Let's just leave it. No. Hey, the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The immortality we have far outweighs it. And we are partakers of that reality even now. Even now. Even now. I bless you by the power of God. Bless you by the power of God. I bless this body by the power of God. Hey, men can be partakers of the ripple effect of the consequence of another man's choices. Hey, you will be a partaker of the consequence of my words upon your life. My words upon your life will give you good consequence. Will give you good consequences. The actions of a man affects other men. It's the way God has made it. So my own consequence for you will be positive. There are so many negative influences out there. Ha, don't worry. Yeah, we will shelter you. We shelter you from that. We shelter you from that. You are not a victim of circumstances. You are not a victim of general calamity. You are above time and chance. Hey, you are above time and chance. You are above time and chance. This is the assurance that God has given us. Immortality. There is no evil in God. I refuse to see any evil in you. 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 I believe the best from you. Hey, I will not rest until it is the best of who you are in Christ that shows forth. That is my own assurance for you. Hey, the best of Christ in you will come out. It will come out. I promise you that. I promise you that. God has blessed the world with men. You are a partaker of my blessing. God has blessed the world with men. You are a partaker of my blessing. I have no evil to give to you. I bless you with the fullness of my heart. Oh, 1 minute more. All across this house, we spread a godly influence. We spread an influence of good. 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 Glory to God. We spread an influence of good all around, all around, all around. All around. A ripple effect of goodness. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. There's enough evil influence out there. Let it end with you. There is no evil in God, right? In Him, there is no darkness at all. All He is, all He does is good. Be an ambassador of goodness. You see how the negative choice of one man causes ripple effects of wickedness all around. Don't spread that. You can spread goodness much more. You can spread goodness much more. There's enough evil out there. Don't add to it. There's enough evil out there. You don't need to add to it. No anger. No strife. You don't need to add to it. I can spread good influence. I can spread good influence. I can spread good influence. Men are always partakers of a man's choice, bad or good. But for us, because we belong to an eternal Father who has only goodness to give, we are such men. This is our God and this is who we are. For He begat us in His will to be just like Him. It cannot be anything else. So when we see something else, we can ask, who is your Father? Are you sure we are from the same source? But we have blessed one another. Hey, your spirit, soul, and body is preserved blameless. And I will be part of those who will ensure it happens. Because only good influence from Him will get you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.